Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Good morning. First of all, let me say just how grateful I am, my family is, to you for your hospitality and the warm welcome that we've already received. Thanks so much for your accommodating me this morning in the changing of the worship plans. So I really wanted to be able to see and greet the entire congregation, and this was kind of the way we figured out we could do it. So we did celebration service at 9 o'clock, and now we're doing bridge at 10:30. We'll be back to regular scheduled programming next week, 9 o'clock and 10:30, both in celebration service and in the bridge. I'll be in celebration next week, and Pastor David will be back here, but he and I are going to be sharing time in both places over the next several weeks. As I get to know the entire congregation, I look forward to worshiping with you again very, very soon. So thanks so much again for accommodating me today. Also, I just want to ask for your prayers. As some of you have heard, we intended to be here and all settled by today and all moved in, but we had a little snag with our house. Our buyer fell through, and so we're still living in Denton and commuting. We are hoping that we can be here by the time school starts, and we're praying that a buyer will come. If you know somebody who wants a nice four-bedroom, two-bedroom, two-bath house in the Denton area, tell them to talk to me. We'd like to get that thing sold. And I'm sure that we will again soon, but just keep us in your prayers as we get that transition going. I appreciate that very much. Let's bow together in prayer. Gracious God, I pray that this time that we spend together would be a blessing to us as we experience your presence in our lives. I pray that all of our thoughts, all of our attention might be given to your presence and your word that's proclaimed. I pray your strength with the messenger this morning. That these words be your words, that your good news be proclaimed, received, and lived. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, this is weird. No getting around it. This is weird. Probably not what you wanted me to say right off the bat, but it's weird. It's weird just because for the last 10 years, I've been doing this somewhere else. In fact, they're doing it right now. In the place where I used to be, and someone else is doing it there. So it's weird to be standing here sharing this with you. For the last 10 years, I've been the pastor of the Faith United Methodist Church in the Corinth, Denton area. It's a church that we started 10 years ago, my wife and I and our family, and for 8.5 years, we set up chairs in a school cafeteria. We opened up our first building just a year and a half ago, and so you just kind of need to know that I'm a little bit off-center just because it's a different place. It's weird, not because it's bad, it's just different. It's also a little weird because of the way this whole pastor transition thing kind of came about. I mean, you're just minding your business, just minding your own business a few months ago when you got this email that said that Vic Cassad, your senior pastor, was going to be appointed to be a district superintendent. And then a few weeks later, you got this other email that said some guy you'd never heard of before was going to come and be the senior pastor of your church. And that's a little weird because most of you live in a world in which it doesn't happen that way. If there's a job opening in your place, then the job gets posted, and then people send their resumes, and there's kind of a selection process, and then a candidate finally emerges, and they hire that person. That's not how we do things here in the United Methodist Church. A lot of churches operate that way. They call it a call system. The United Methodist Church is not a call system. It's a send system. And it's really modeled on the example of Jesus, who sent his disciples into the towns where they went to serve the poor and to proclaim the good news of Christ and to heal people and to serve people. And that's kind of the system that we're in. And so churches receive the pastors that are sent to them. So I have been sent to you, and I pray that you receive me as your pastor. And that makes us a little unusual as United Methodists. Again, it's weird, not again bad, but just a little different. But the main reason why it's so weird for me to be standing here in front of you this morning is because I already kind of have a history with Stonebridge Church, and it's just amazing to me that I'm now the senior pastor of this incredible place. 11 years ago, when I was just getting started with the work of planting the church in Corinth, Stonebridge Church hosted a showcase of new church starts. And so all churches from conference leaders and pastors and leaders from all over, churches all over the conference came to Stonebridge to celebrate the new church starts that had been developed in our conference. And I was the new kid on the block. I was the brand new church. So they invited me to come as well. And so we set up little tables displaying our ministries. Now, we hadn't gotten started yet, so there were no ministries for me to display. And so I just set up a little planter box and put some soil in it, stuck a stick in it that said, "A new church is being planted in Corinth. Please pray for us." And I handed out little seed packets that asked people the same thing. Just pray for us. So we're all set up in the hallway right out in front of Celebration Hall. My booth was the closest to the door. It's all ready to go, pretty excited. And our bishop, Bill Oden, walked in with Mary Brooke Cassad, who was the conference director of mission and new church starts at the time. Since my booth was the closest to the door, he stopped at mine, picked up one of the seed packets, looked at me, and then he looked at Mary Brooke, and he said, "Mary Brooke, I didn't think we were ready to get started on this project yet." And Mary Brooke looked back to him, and then she winked at me, and she said, "Well, Bishop, we are." Mary Brooke kind of had that pull in the conference when she worked there. "And John here, he's going to do a great job." So the bishop looked back at me, and he said, "Okay then, well, John, good luck." And I learned in that moment, standing there in the hallway of Stonebridge Church, that sometimes if you're going to receive a blessing from God, you have to have the bold confidence to go claim it. You have to be willing to stand forward. If God calls you to take a leap of faith, you leap. And sometimes all the ducks won't be in a row, and sometimes all the T's won't be crossed, and all the I's won't be dotted, and all the pieces of the puzzle won't quite be there yet. But when God calls you to a God-appointed task, you step forward in faith and in bold confidence, and you go. Well, about 18 months after that experience, our church was up and running. It was a great, great time in the life of Faith Church. It was an exciting time, and your founding pastor, Don Smith, who was doing some coaching and consulting at the time, came to my church to visit us, check out worship. He worshiped with us, and then he offered some insight and some comments after the service was over. Now, in the first 6 months at Faith Church, I not only preached every Sunday morning, but I led all the worship as well. Now, music's one of my gifts, but I didn't do it nearly like these guys did it. Believe me, we had this electronic keyboard, and we programmed the music into it. It was kind of fancy karaoke is really all it was. But it kind of got the job done because we were having a hard time finding somebody that I really connected with to lead our worship. And so Don came up to me and he said, "John, this whole worship leader thing, it's cute and all, but you're not going to grow your church if you're doing the music. You got to find some better people. You got to work with somebody better." And I said, "Well, I've been trying. I don't know what to do." And he said, "Well, call my friend Buddy Matei at Stonebridge. See what Buddy has to say." So I called up Buddy, and Buddy and I talked for a little bit, and Buddy said, "Well, there's a lady I work with, Marla, whose son goes to North Texas, and I think he's even in a band." So long story short, put me in touch with Kevin Sluter, who did have a band. We ended up hiring Kevin and his entire band, and Kevin became our music director at Faith and transformed the place incredibly. Kevin's still one of my great friends today. He's he still plays bass in the praise band over there. Transformed the place completely just by adding in that excellent music. And I got that mainly from a connection I had here at Stonebridge. And I learned from that experience that when God calls you to something and you trust in going forward and you don't have all the pieces in place yet, you've got to trust that God will put those pieces in as you need them. That you may not feel equipped or prepared to go where God calls you to go. But if you go forward in faith, trust that God will bring the pieces together, where it's people resources or financial resources or whatever you need to complete that task, at the time you need it, God will provide as you are going upon that God-appointed task. So, Stonebridge Church has already kind of had a place in shaping my ministry, and I'm just really excited to be a part of this great work. I'm excited about the way that you transform lives and the impact that you have in the community. I'm excited about the impact that you have in people's lives as they respond to a call to ministry in their own lives, whether it's ordained ministry or ministry in the community somewhere. The intentional investment that you make in doing things to make a difference in the lives of others for the sake of Jesus Christ, and the innovation and creative spirit that you have at this place that really sets you apart. In many ways, you are a model congregation in the United Methodist Church. But I'm also aware of the reality that we've got some work to do as a congregation. McKinney has been regarded as one of the best places in the country to live, and Collin County is one of the fastest growing counties in the whole country. And yet the number of people that our churches reaches reaching right now is smaller than it was just a few years ago. The average household income in Collin County is 60% higher than the state average. And yet our church is struggling financially and has a significantly smaller budget than churches of comparable size and scope of ministry. And despite our affluence, 1 in 10 people here in McKinney live below the poverty line. 1 in 3 people in McKinney are under the age of 18. There are all kinds of children out there to be served. And an ever-growing, increasing number of people, percentage of people, are still claiming to have no religious affiliation or preference. So we've got some things that we can do together. And I'm excited to join you in this work. And I'm not going to tell you I'm not a little nervous about the task. I'm not going to tell you I'm not just a little bit overwhelmed about the scope of what God's calling us to do. And I'm not going to tell you that I have all the answers. I am not the star of this show. But I know and I love and I serve the one who is. Amen? And we know that in Christ, all things are possible. And we know that all things can come together for good for those who love the Lord. So I asked our worship team this morning to build today's service around Joshua chapter 1. The book of Joshua is the story of God's people, the Israelites, inhabiting, occupying the promised land. They had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses had died. Joshua had been appointed to lead the people into the promised land. And Joshua tells that story. The book of Joshua is filled with all kinds of stories of how they did that. And it's a book filled with violence and lots of battles. And I didn't choose the passage because of all of that. I chose the passage because it comes with a promise. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 reminds us. God says, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." Now, can you imagine what Joshua's life must have been like hearing those words? God saying, "I will never leave you or forsake you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you." Essentially, God is saying to Joshua, "The battle's already won. I've already fought the battle on your behalf. All you have to do is get your troops together and show up, and you'll be victorious." Now imagine what we could accomplish for the kingdom of God if we moved forward with that kind of confidence, knowing that God has already made the way, God has already plowed the ground, and that all we have to do is step into it and claim that life that God is calling us. I chose this passage because of that promise, the promise of God's presence, the promise of God's provision, the promise of God's protection, the promise of God's power. We need to believe in that promise. But that promise also comes with an expectation. And God outlines some expectations for Joshua in the next few verses, and I want to go through those with you for a few minutes. God says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be very strong and courageous." God expects us to be strong and courageous. Now, strength and courage don't mean that we don't sometimes feel fear and doubt. Fear and doubt are a natural part of our lives, and fear and doubt can often paralyze us from taking that next step into where God wants us to go. Strength and courage are not just commendable attributes on the battlefield. They are what allow us to face the everyday challenges that come our way and move in our lives with a faithfulness that reflects the spirit and the conviction and the commitment and the strength and courage of those who lived and died for the faith that we now claim. Joshua is being called into that, and we are too, to be strong and courageous. And then God says to Joshua, "Be careful to obey all the law my servant gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Another expectation God has of Joshua and of us is to obey God's law and keep God's word in our hearts and our minds. For Joshua, that law was given to him through Moses, who God gave it to Moses. For us as Christians, as followers of that, as followers of Christ, who is the Word of God, we live that law through the example and teaching of Jesus Christ, who was God's Word made flesh, who is the unmitigated Word of God, who is the filter through which we understand all of our faith. If we are living the law of love that Jesus taught us, he said there were two very important things: to love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Essentially, what that means, the law all summed up, is to make God the first priority of your life, and then to give your neighbor the same grace and benefit of the doubt that you would extend, that you would have others extend to you, or that you would want others to give to you. Those are the most important things. And God says something very simple and very special. If you do these things, if you obey God's law and keep God's word in your heart, you will be prosperous and successful. Now, there are lots of books you can buy about where prosperity and success come from. God outlines it very clearly right there. Prosperity and success come from obedience to God's law. And as Christians, we live out that law in the love of Jesus Christ. And then finally, he says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged. You know, when we're terrified, we don't think straight. When we're terrified, actually what we do is we think from our brainstem, which is the part of us that controls our survival instincts and self-preservation. Rather than thinking from our frontal lobe, where our reason and our ability to make rational decisions comes from, when we're terrified, we think from that survival instinct. And it makes it hard for us to really understand and really process the information that we're given. When we're discouraged, we're hopeless. And when we have hopelessness in our lives, we don't think that anything will ever be better. Joshua's word from God and the expectation that we have is not to let our circumstances dictate our actions. Don't just react to our circumstances. And avoid the temptation to just give up when things get tough. Joshua was told by God, "I will never leave you or forsake you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I am with you always." That's God's word to us as well. And that's a promise we can live with. Don't be terrified or discouraged. Take heart in that. But friends, let's face it, we live in a world that tells us it's pretty weird to have that kind of faith. I mean, we follow a Savior who we believe was raised from the dead. And this Savior taught us that it was better to be last than first, that it was better to be humbled than exalted, that it was better to be a servant than it was to be served. This is the one who showed that his power was in giving up himself to his enemies and allowing himself to be crucified on a cross. This is who we follow. This is who we worship. How weird is that? No wonder the world scoffs when we show our strength and courage by turning the other cheek. No wonder the world laughs at us when we live by the law of love and mercy and grace. No wonder the world mocks us when we proclaim victory in the face of seeming defeat and hope in the face of utter despair. We got work to do. And if that was the only work we had to do, I'd be okay with that. But we have a bigger challenge, and the bigger challenge is the indifference that many Christians have toward our faith. And we get to the point where we believe that we've got the assurance of salvation, and we live in the grace and love of Christ, and we think, well, that's it. That's all I have to do. And we forget what it's like to really live with the love of Christ flowing out of our lives. You see, you remember what it was like to be totally in love, to be totally devoted, to be totally committed to the one that you loved? You want to know everything about them. You want to spend every waking minute with them. You want to be with them all the time. That's the love that Christ has for us. That's the love that Christ wants from us. And yet oftentimes we forget what it truly feels like to live in that love as we go about our daily lives. I'm hoping you'll join me over the next several weeks in worship, either here or in celebration service. In September and October, we're going to do a worship series that really talks about what it's like to live in that love, what it's like to be totally committed to Christ and to some of the basic expressions of our faith. Before we do that, in July and August, we're going to do a series of sermons based on some people in the Bible who were really solid bridge builders, bridging the gap between God and others with the love of Jesus Christ. And I think you're going to discover that these bridge builders weren't any different than you and me, that God used ordinary people in extraordinary ways for the sake of his love and his grace, and the world was changed as a result. There was a commercial that ran a couple of years ago during a Super Bowl that featured a group of people in a town who were told that the bridge to their town had been washed out and that the truck that was delivering their favorite beverage was on the other side. And so the next thing you see is the whole town coming together, and they literally build this human bridge so that their delivery truck can get across and make its deliveries. Now, friends, I just got to ask, what would happen if the people of Christ were as passionate about reaching those on the other side who are far from God as we are about making sure that our beverages get delivered? We've got exciting work to do here at Stonebridge, and I believe that God has some amazing things in store for us, and I think Stonebridge's best days are ahead of us. We've got a world to change with the love of God. We've got a community to transform with the grace of Jesus Christ, and we've got a kingdom to build with the power of the Holy Spirit. I've been sent to you to help in that work. And I've got some ideas about what we can do, and I bet you've got some ideas about that as well, and I look forward to hearing from you as we move together. In the meantime, as you receive me as your pastor, I pray that you would receive this mission and this mandate, that we be committed to sharing the joy of Jesus Christ with anyone and everyone that we meet. For I've heard that Stonebridge Church is the most joyful place on earth. And that's pretty cool. I can celebrate that. Yeah. As long as it's the joy that we experience from seeing God at work in our midst, as long as the joy from this place is overflowing into the streets of McKinney and across the state and across our country and all over the world, and as long as the joy is something that we invite others to share in so that the story of Christ might be their story, I think that's what this place is all about. I think that's what our faith is all about. And if you want to know a little bit about me, that's what I'm all about. So that might make us weird. So be it. We have work to do. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.